From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st Show. I'm Christine Herman, in for Brian Mackey. The Trump administration is requesting voting data from numerous states across the country, including Illinois. We're talking about troves of data from voter registration databases, including some sensitive information. The Trump administration has also asked about states' efforts to scrub the rolls of ineligible voters. We reached out to the Illinois State Board of Elections to find out how the state is planning to handle this situation. Public Information Officer Matt Dietrich declined an interview and said in an email that the only comment he can make is, quote, "Our legal division is reviewing the request." To learn more about all of this, I'm joined by David Becker. He's executive director and founder of the Center for Election Innovation and Research, and he served for 7 years as a senior trial attorney in the voting section of the Department of Justice's Civil Rights Division. David, welcome to the 21st. Thanks for being here.
Thanks so much for having me.
Listeners, we invite you to share your thoughts with us. Join our conversation at 800-222-9455. How do you feel about the Trump administration's request? Or do you have worries about sensitive data being shared from the state to the federal government? 800-222-9455 is the number to join us. David, I want to begin by reading a text we received from Aaron in Springfield. He says, quote, "It is a coordinated attempt to assert nationalized control over critical infrastructure that's controlled by election authorities at a community level. If it's successful or not, it has already undermined the public's confidence. Trust in democracy is suffering by design." So, David, let's jump right in. Tell us a bit more about this request from the Trump administration to state boards of elections, including here in Illinois.
Well, I think that text was really well thought out. And actually, from a high level, that raises a really strong point, which is that the founders, in their wisdom, designed our democracy and our elections to be decentralized, to give power to the states and only the states to regulate the time, place, and manner of elections. That's in the Elections Clause of the United States Constitution, Article 1, Section 4. And only Congress can change that. The president plays absolutely no role in elections whatsoever. In fact, the president doesn't even preside over the Electoral College count in Congress. That's the vice president under the Constitution. And that is by design. The founders were very, very careful, coming from having fought a revolutionary war against an autocratic executive, a king, that the power to elect that executive be dispersed into the states. And I know when I was at the Department of Justice, that was something that always resonated very strongly with us. And we were instructed, regardless of whether we served in a Republican or Democratic administration, I served three attorneys general, one Democratic, two Republicans, that our jurisdiction was limited to enforcing those federal laws that have been passed by Congress and that alone. And here we've got a situation where the Department of Justice, in kind of a broad fishing expedition, appears to be seeking highly sensitive information on voters that it has not been authorized to collect, that it's unclear what it's going to do with the information, to enforce things that aren't required under federal law. For instance, there is no requirement under federal law that states do an ongoing search for non-citizens on their voter lists. We know that the number of non-citizens on voter lists is exceedingly small. My nonprofit, the Center for Election Innovation and Research, just released a report on that last week. The number nationally might be in the dozens or few hundreds out of 160 million ballots cast, and very few of them cast ballots. And when they do, they're caught and prosecuted. But regardless of whether you think it's a good idea or whether it would be a positive thing to have the federal government require states to look for non-citizens on the voter list on an ongoing basis, Congress has not authorized that. And so we're seeing with these letters to the states attempts to kind of expand the reach of federal authority over elections and to rebalance the balance of power between the executive branch in Washington, the White House, the Oval Office, and the state's authority. And that it should be troubling to everybody, regardless of your politics, because even if you happen to agree with this president and his priorities, this president isn't always going to be serving in power. And a president of another party might use this power that's been ceded to the executive branch in an entirely different way that you might not agree with.
If you're just joining us, this is the 21st show. We're talking about the Trump administration's request for voting data from numerous states across the country, including Illinois. I want to share a text from Gina in Springfield. Gina writes, I'm a 77-year-old female, and throughout my long life, the topic of identifying and eliminating ineligible voters has been left to local municipal officials and the Office of the Illinois Secretary of State, ditto for the state of Ohio, where I lived as a child through high school. I believe that recent research throughout the past 10 years has identified very, very little voter fraud throughout the United States, which, David, is a point you just finished making there. And I wonder, David, can you talk about this other part of the request, which is the interest in the names of election officials who are keeping the voting rolls up to date ahead of the 2024 presidential election?
Yeah, this is a really odd request. I've never seen anything like that from the perspective of the Department of Justice or almost anyone else. Many of the election officials who run our elections across the nation are at the local and county level, and the names of those individuals are public. We know who the clerks are. We know who the registrars are. We know who the auditors are. They go by different names in different places. And the DOJ, if they really needed this information for a legitimate reason, could do the work to find those names, but they're not doing that. It also raises the question, why do they need those? The Illinois State Board of Elections is the entity charged with list maintenance under the National Voter Registration Act, which is the law that these letters presumably is based on, along with the Help America Vote Act, both federal laws. So it's appropriate that the Illinois State Board be the respondent for those questions. But I just thought that was a very odd request. And given some of the other rhetoric we've seen, I worry that those types of requests could be perceived by election officials at the local level as potentially intimidating and harassing, especially when over the past 5+ years, election officials all over the country at the state level, at the county level, at the local level, Democrats and Republicans have experienced just nonstop threats and abuse by individuals who have been fed a constant diet of lies about the security of our elections and whether their candidate really lost or not.
I'd like to bring one more person into this conversation. Terry Renner is a political science professor at Illinois Wesleyan University, also the former mayor of Bloomington from 2013 to 2021. Terry, welcome to the 21st show.
Welcome. Thank you. I appreciate it. Very glad to be here.
So there are some states that are responding somewhat positively, perhaps, to the Trump administration's request. This week, a spokesman for Ohio's Secretary of State said the federal government doesn't need any permission and is quoted saying Ohio's voter registration database is extremely transparent, end quote. But obviously, many others still have concerns. Evan in Taylorville texted us to say this is an illegal request. The National Voter Registration Act doesn't allow such access by the federal government, and only MAGA voters and politicians would ever trust the Trump administration with such information. Terry, I want to hear your thoughts on that. Does this request go against the Justice Department's legal authority?
I have to agree with everything David has said. This is total nonsense. It is absolutely an invidious attempt to harass and intimidate election officials throughout the country. This is something, if the federal government really wanted this, as David said, you go out and get it. Frankly, there are any number of list firms, if you're doing surveys, or if you're, usually the parties have access to their own databases, but you can buy this information. You can get the information. You can even buy the information if you're a candidate for public office in Illinois and in most states. So clearly, this is one of the attempts to move us toward authoritarian behavior. In a New York Times bestseller book, two of my colleagues, Stephen Levitsky and Daniel Zeiblatt, talk about how democracies die. And amongst the many warning signs is if you've got people in power that encourage military coups or violent insurrections. And by the way, this was several years before January 6th that they wrote this. It was the early Trump administration. And they try to basically delegitimize election procedures and baselessly claim that their political opponents are criminals, encouraging mob attacks. I mean, this is really sad. This is a very, very difficult time for our country and our country's democratic system. And when you democracy does have rules and restraints, clearly those are the lifeblood, rules are the lifeblood of any democracy. But it's also the case that there are certain kinds of norms and practices you just don't do. Yeah, you could do it. Yeah, you could gum up the works. Yeah, you could harass people for no reason or no overt reason. And that's what we're in the process of. And when I went to graduate school in the 1980s, when my graduate school colleagues told me all democracies are fragile, I was an idiot. I said, oh, no, not in America. Now I've been absolutely proven wrong. This is a very, very difficult time.
Wendy and Shabana texted us to say, I am furious about this. I'm an election judge, and we are meticulous about registering new voters, and the information gathered should be kept confidential. Voting is monitored by the states. Keep it that way. David, I think you mentioned a little bit about this earlier on, but can you talk about the National Voter Registration Act, and how does that come into play here?
The National Voter Registration Act was passed in 1993. And it's sometimes referred to as the Motor Voter Act. And it includes several provisions, including that motor vehicles agencies and other public agencies should offer voter registration opportunities. And it also requires states to engage in what is called list maintenance, voter list maintenance, regular maintenance to ensure that the voter lists are up to date as people move and die, not because of any fraud, but about a third of all Americans move in any given four-year period. And of course, some people die and are no longer eligible to vote. So engaging in regular list maintenance is required for under the National Voter Registration Act. And the states do that. They partner to partner with agencies to get good data from like their motor vehicles agencies, their vital records agencies. They partner with other states. There's a system called the Electronic Registration Information Center that states have joined. Half the states have voluntarily joined, where they share data under very, very specific security measures to ensure the security of that data. Accurate voter lists are a good thing. Sometimes this is politicized, where removing old records from the list is perceived as voter suppression. Adding new records to the list is perceived as an invitation to fraud. And both of those things are false. That keeping accurate lists with good information on where voters live is incredibly important. And we're doing a better job of that than ever before, thanks to people like Wendy, the election judge who wrote in, and others who do such remarkable work to ensure our elections are secure. I think we should also recognize that the voter lists themselves, we're talking about two different buckets of data in there. There is the public voter file, which contains the name, address, sometimes the political party, and the voter history. In other words, whether someone voted, not how they voted in a particular election. And as Terry said, the campaigns and candidates use that to reach out to people and try to encourage them to vote, turn out their own voters. But there's also this highly sensitive, confidential aspect of the voter list in every state that is not public, that no one can get. It includes things like driver's license numbers, social security numbers, dates of birth, things that could be used for identity theft and other nefarious purposes. And those are highly protected. And when you look at the kinds of letters that have been sent to Illinois, and perhaps as many, we don't have an exact count yet because it's not all public, but we've heard numbers of around 20 states that have received these letters. These letters specifically say all fields included in the voter registration file, which includes the sensitive fields.
But
and the DOJ has even gone so far as to sue Orange County, California, seeking that highly sensitive information to which they are not entitled under federal or state law.
That's an interesting point. We only have about a minute left before break here, but Tom in Elburn texted us to say, well, the feds already know my address, date of birth, social security number, income history, and much more. The voter rolls don't have anything, quote, sensitive at all. I don't trust the state of Illinois any more than I trust the feds. I mean, is there an argument to be made that, okay, they're requesting the sensitive data, but doesn't the federal government already have this data on most people?
Absolutely not. And they have not accumulated it. Federal government wouldn't have driver's license numbers, for instance. Driver's licenses are maintained by the states. That's the primary unique identifying number that most of us use. When we go to the airport, we usually show our driver's license. When we use ID in any way, that's the state's authority under their motor vehicles laws and under the Real ID Act. So the federal government doesn't have all of that information. And to accumulate that information means, one, they're using it for some reason that they have not told us yet, which is not proper under federal law. But secondly, it expands the opportunities for that information to be breached, to be stolen. You want information like your driver's license number to be stored in as few places as possible with as big of walls around them as they possibly can be. And the more places where it's sent, especially given the federal government's record on this, just in the last 6 months, there's been several accidental releases of sensitive information. I think your listeners are quite right to be concerned about that.
We'll continue this conversation on the other side of a short break. This is The 21st Show. Stay with us. This is The 21st Show. I'm Christine Herman. Back to today's conversation in just a moment, but first, the race to replace Illinois Senator Dick Durbin is underway. What would you ask candidates Juliana Stratton, Robin Kelly, or Raja Krishnamoorthy? The 21st Show will soon interview the candidates, and we'd love to include your questions. Send us an email, talk@21stshow.org. Talk@21stshow.org. We'll include some of your questions when Brian Mackey interviews the candidates on upcoming editions of The 21st Show starting next week. But back to today, we're talking about the Trump administration's request for Illinois voter data. We're speaking with David Becker, executive director and founder of the Center for Election Innovation and Research, who served 7 years as a senior trial attorney in the voting section of the Department of Justice's Civil Rights Division. I'm also speaking with Terry Renner, political science professor at Illinois Wesleyan University, former mayor of Bloomington, Illinois. David, getting back to the questions and the concerns about sensitive information, is the worry that the federal government could take this data, create some sort of centralized database with information from various agencies, perhaps akin to the social credit system in China? Or is it far too speculative to say something like that at this point?
I don't think it's far too speculative. There were reports on NPR earlier this year that indicated that that's exactly what the federal government is doing, that they're basically trying to aggregate as much data as possible to create essentially what was a national citizen registry. And on the one hand, that's concerning because federal law, especially the Federal Privacy Act, has strict regulations and procedures around when the U.S. government can collect information on its citizens and that it has to be properly vetted and approved by Congress, which this has not been as of now. But it's also somewhat ironic because for some time there was a push by Democrats and people more on the left to produce a national citizen registry that could be used to enfranchise all eligible citizens without the need for voter registration. For instance, if we knew someone was 18 and a United States citizen, they effectively can vote unless, for instance, they were disqualified for reason of felony status or something like that. And Republicans pushed back very hard on that. They were very much against the federal government seizing that much power over American citizens by holding their highly sensitive and personal information. And now we essentially have a federal government run by a Republican president who's doing that with the swipe of a pen, or seems to be doing that with the swipe of a pen. And I think the question should be, one, if you're concerned about that, if you might be someone who doesn't support this particular president, that is, of course, concerning about what the federal government could do with that. But if you happen to be someone who does support this particular president and agrees with a lot of these policies, imagine what could happen when a president of a different party comes into office and has access to that full database, that full national citizen registry. I could see a Democratic president coming in another term and taking that data that has been created by President Trump and his administration to essentially say, I'm going to swipe my pen this time and just authorize all of those people to be eligible to vote. And the states are going to have to get in line to do it because that power has already been ceded to me as president.
Anne in Urbana texted us to say, I'm very worried about this and how it could be used. I do not trust the Trump administration to not use this to target specific groups or individuals. And I worry about the motivation behind this. What are they truly looking to find? And David, that's a really interesting point about administration turnover. Terry, I'd like to give you a chance. We just have a couple minutes left here, but I wonder how your experience in local government informs your perspective here, and if you have any additional thoughts to share about what David was just speaking about.
Sure. Well, to perhaps most immediately piggyback off of what David said, there's also an irony that Donald Trump, in all of his campaigns, has talked about this deep state stoking people's fears of gathering information, having this inner circle or star chamber doing terrible things. So you've got the guy who's leading this populist revolt, and now he's attempting to do things like this. Again, I think there are multiple motivations. I would think probably the main one is they just want to threaten people. They do all kinds of things like that to bully people. But this one is, as David has noted, there's some real possible problems and difficulties here with identity theft and other things. The other thing at the local level, it used to be the case in many places, certainly the people throughout Illinois and throughout the United States I would interact with, that when you got to the local level, a lot of that national ideological baggage was there, but it didn't divide you as much. Now, it doesn't seem to be that you can pave a street without somebody saying, you know, you're an Obama or a Trump lackey or a Biden lackey or whatever. The nationalizing of local politics has gotten to the point where it's quite dysfunctional. So, yes, I would say we need to worry at all levels of government the kinds of behavior, and I use that term sort of in quotes, that we're seeing, the kinds of things that are being pushed are just absolutely outrageous. It's not like they're rare. In most cases, they've never been used before. It's just really well way off the charts. So I would, the best thing would be for our listeners, anyone, to stay informed, try to get as accurate information as you can. If you're really concerned about the source of your information, I often recommend that people take a look at The Hill and Roll Call. These are Capitol Hill newspapers. They have to live or die on the basis of being of journalistic ethics, which seem to be thrown out the window. And of course, National Public Radio, yeah. Even though it's under siege.
And we're quickly running out of time, so we're going to have to leave the conversation right there. But I'd like to thank my guest, Terry Renner, political science professor at Illinois Wesleyan University, and David Becker, executive director and founder of the Center for Election Innovation and Research. Thank you both for joining us on the 21st Show today.
Thanks, Christine.
Fantastic. Thank you.